Yeah, some more NBA talk. You could also play his fight song if you'd like.
I can, yeah.
Okay, cool. Joining us on the phone line, sipping his morning cup of coffee. We appreciate him being on the program. It's Siena Heights head basketball coach on the men's side, Joe Pachodok. Good morning, coach.
Morning, man.
Hey, look, I didn't think we'd have to talk today because I thought it'd be a seven-game series, but they had other ideas last night.
Yeah, man, I tell you, first of all, not a big fan of the 9:15 tips. Those are never fun.
No.
I mean, I understand about getting all the markets involved from the television standpoint, but, yeah, not a fan of the 9:15s. But, yeah, the way it started, you know, Boston tried to make a little bit of a statement, but, I think the better team won out last night, that's for sure.
Yeah, it just looked like, to me, and we talked about it to kind of start the show, if you want to pick a side of did Golden State win or did Boston lose, I think Boston lost. I mean, just the, you know, they seemed more talented on paper. They played a tougher playoffs so far to get to this spot, and they just turned the ball over. You gave Golden State extra possessions. Jason Tatum was off, to say the least. Like, it just looked like it wasn't Boston's best.
Yeah, you know, and this is, I remember back when we talked, I was really surprised. And I agree, and I think Boston, you got to give some credit to Golden State because they did what they did.
Right.
And what they do, I think more than anything, to their strengths. But I thought Boston really gave away, what their strength is. If you look at the games that they won, they went with their size, and they just pounded away on Golden State. So you look at the games that they won, the offensive rebounds and the free throws. They made Golden State defend, and they just pounded them physically on the glass. And those are the games that they were successful. So they competed and played to their strengths. But I thought last night, and you touched on it, man, they averaged almost 20 turnovers a game in the series. Last night they had 22 turnovers, and Golden State converts on 60% of those turnovers. I mean, that's a huge number.
It was like watching Michigan State last year.
Yeah. And ironically, Izzo and some of the guys were they were at the game last night. I saw that on social, so that's awesome.
Oh, nice.
Free throws. Again, Golden State is a jump shooting team. If you try and get a jump shooting contest with a jump shooting team, you're gonna lose. I mean, so here's a game where Boston's at home, and they're 11. They only take 12 free throws at home in a critical game six. And a jump shooting team in Golden State takes 8. That's it. And offensive rebounds. So Boston, they don't shoot it particularly well from the field. I think they were only maybe mid-40s at the most, maybe 41-42%. And you only get 11 offensive rebounds, and Golden State gets 15. I mean, so now am I really competing to my strengths? I was really who am I to criticize, Boston's staff? But, man, I just thought the way the game started in the first quarter, it was an uh-oh for me. And almost like we talk about with our guys, like fool's gold type of possessions where Boston comes up, man, and they're just knocking down jump shots like crazy. And you saw Golden State's body posture like, hey, it's all right. We'll let this tide sail a little bit and the water will settle back to us. And it sure did. It sure did, because Boston played at that fast pace that Golden State wants to play at. And when you have teams that do that and you're not necessarily – accustomed to that, but efficient doing that, that water will settle back to you, and it did last night.
So, Ian tasked me with picking my top five things I took away from the finals, and yeah. I want your opinions on them, Coach. So, probably one would be Curry finally getting that coveted MVP that he's been going for the past, obviously, six finals he's played in and four finals they've won. He's gotten it seemed like stolen from him every single time, but finally was able with his performance this finals to take it away and get it.
Yeah, you know, and my thing too with that, Andrew, is like, you know, I don't think really Steph Curry really needed a finals MVP to validate just how good of a player he is. Because when you think about it, they give it to Iguodala a couple years ago for MVP for quote unquote defending LeBron, and LeBron has averages a triple double for that series. So
yeah, LeBron
really
should have been the MVP of that series.
Yeah,
even so, losing.
Yeah, that's great, and it's kind of the piece de resistance for his, career is to have one of those. But, you know, to say it really, you know, validates how great Steph Curry is, I think is, you know, somewhat of an understatement.
Yeah,
but
no.
If you can pull out five takeaways from the series, man, that's about three more than I could take away from.
I give him some hard assignments.
It's been tough, but I think I got them. Number two, how scary the Warriors actually are. I mean, I preached all probably since the halfway point All-Star break how deep the Warriors are, and I think they showed that without even using their bench. They used three guys off their bench mainly, usually Gary Payton, Kevin Looney went to the bench at some point, and then obviously Jordan Poole. And I think they showed how scary they can be without using Kuminga, without using Iguodala, with James Wiseman being hurt, with Moses Moody not playing, who's a very young player, Juan Toscano-Anderson, who played heavily at the start of the season but kind of fell off, but still is a decent starter. I think they showed how scary they can be going into next year.
Totally agree. If you go back and look, at the Greg Popovich teams and way back into the Phil Jackson teams that Kerr was involved with, both of them, the deeper they got into the playoffs, then to win.
Yep.
Then to win is that philosophy. So I agree.
Number three, kind of two things tying into each other. The Celtics can't get out of their own way, basically, and their turnovers. It seemed like they just kept beating themselves ever since game, what was it? They won game one. They won game one and game three. After game four, they just were beating themselves, it seemed like. They didn't score, meaning and looked at it, they didn't score over 100 points in every single game they lost.
Yeah, you can't play two teams. And they did that. I mean, on the biggest stage for the biggest prize, they did that. They could get away with it, and they did get away with it against Milwaukee and Miami because, you know, they were beat up a little bit and they were missing some pieces, so they could get away with some of those extra possessions. But when you're playing a team like Golden State, who, I mean, was full throttle and at their strength, and they made them pay, that's for sure.
Yep. So my number four is missing star, basically. Tatum, just gone. It really kind of validated a statement I've been saying, that Jaylen Brown has been by and far the most consistent player on that team for the past 2 years. Not in the fact that he's been the best, but I mean, this series, he was arguably the better of the two on that court for Boston.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you get into postseason play, whether it's NBA or like in the NCAA tournament, where it's really, I mean, you lose and you're done.
Yeah.
Your marquee guys have to play like marquee guys, and then your rotational players have to be really good at their job. And when you have, you know, here last night, you know, Marcus Smart is 4 of 12, and Tatum is 6 of 18. I mean, that's 33% for each of them. I mean, you're just not going to be successful. You're not. And then your bench. I mean, last night Boston's bench had 2 made field goals.
Yeah,
they were 2 of 8. So they had more turnovers off the bench than they had made field goals. That's a recipe for a loss. Which, by the way, Boston in the playoffs at home had a losing record at home in the playoffs.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's Golden State couldn't lose on the road. So it was a very... It was a situation where Boston had to win on the road, and they didn't. They won one game over there. And then my last one, defense. You had the defensive player of the year on Boston's team, Marcus Smart, and it just seemed like defense kind of disappeared from the entire start of the series. Yeah, they held Clay in check sometimes, but it seemed Curry kind of was doing what he wanted at will.
Andrew, I'm impressed, man. That's a really good five right
there. Like, I knew he could
really
do it.
That's kudos. Tell Ian he owes you a breakfast or something because you totally answered the bell. This gets back to what we were talking about before. I thought Andrew Wiggins caused a problem defensively for Tatum because of his length and his ability to defend East and West. I was surprised that here's Marcus Smart, your defensive player of the year, and Boston, they kept with that philosophy of we're switching screens, and instead of just cutting him loose on Curry consistently and competing their way through some of those screens and keeping that matchup the same, I was stunned that they didn't do that. Because then, I mean, the way the NBA is now is, you know, ball screen, ball screen, ball screen until you get the matchup that you want, and then, okay, late shot clock, shooting three. That's Golden State.
Yeah.
That's Golden State to a T, and, you know, I was just surprised that Boston stayed with that defensive scheme.
And I kind of have a 6-2.
an overachiever.
Boston's mismanagement of Robert Williams' injury. When he got hurt early in the playoffs, they kept rushing him back. They would rush him back, sit him for a game, rush him back, sit him for a game. When realistically, I think they could have made it to the finals with him missing a series, but they just kept bringing him back, and I feel like long-term that's going to hurt him and them in his career.
You might have a stretch with number 6.
Oh, he went too far.
Probably should have stayed with 5 there, Andrew. I think when you have, I wouldn't necessarily say a mismanagement. I think, you know, when you look last night, I just pulled up the box score and he played like 32 minutes. I think it's one of those things where everybody's going to feel better and they're not as glaring when guys play better, you know? So guys, if they're getting touches and, you know, he's a monster on the offensive glass where he's really good and he's a problem in the post, then those little things like that aren't nearly as glaring, you know, those injuries. Then they kind of stay in the nickel dime category. Whereas if they're not competing to what they do best, now I think to me the key is, you know, a guy like Grant Williams. I mean, here's Grant Williams last night who plays 15 minutes, and he's 1 of 2 in 15 minutes, you know? And then Al Horford, you know, Al Horford plays 39 minutes, and he's 6 of 8, you know? And he has 14 – here he has 14 rebounds. So he was really active. And I was – again, when you have those pieces, they got to play like it, and they got to play at that high level – you know, and looking at Grant Williams' efficiency, man, he was minus 18. I mean, you might as well just pull some stiff off the G League team in for the finals and put him in when you're minus 18. So, I think this goes back to what kind of Ian was talking about too, is I think it's a combination. You have to give Golden State credit for obviously winning an NBA championship and what they've done. It's been really, really good. But Boston definitely helped them. They really helped them. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you cutting into your coffee time and your peace and quiet to talk to us on the Cave today. Well, you know, I didn't think we'd have to do this until I wake up this morning and I look, oh, Boston lost. Well, I guess we should talk to Coach about it. So I appreciate your willingness to come on and talk some hoop with us.
Hey, it's my pleasure, guys. Always appreciate it. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
Oh, man. All right, thanks. Well, have a good one, Coach, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Again, Siena Heights head basketball coach on the men's side, Joe Pachota, talking some NBA here with us inside the Cave.